Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org, and in this video, I want to talk about philosophy. In particular, I want to talk about practical philosophy. How do we take philosophy back from the goddamn academics that stole it from us? Okay, let's talk about philosophy. This is a really fascinating topic, and I want to cover what philosophy is, and I want to give a new definition for the philosophy. I want to redefine philosophy. And really, it's not a new definition, it's an old definition. But this is really powerful. Now, if you are thinking, philosophy, what does this have to do with my life? How is this going to change my life? How is this going to really have any practical significance? Then this video is especially for you, because I'm going to be touching on that subject and why your current thinking could be holding you back. So stick with me, there will be practical applications, but also some nice philosophical applications, and I think you're gonna have a blast. I'm gonna take you through a tour of philosophy. All right, let's crack into that. So I am a philosophy major. I was rather a philosophy major in university. Originally, I went in for aerospace engineering, but then after 2 years, I didn't really like it. It was too dry for me, so I became a philosophy major, and I graduated with that, and I had a blast doing philosophy. I like doing philosophy. But the philosophy that they teach you in universities is really a travesty. It is a bastardization of what philosophy really is. And the negative stigma that we have today, both in popular culture and even deeper than popular culture, there's just this stigma about philosophy being something for white, crusty old men who sit around and do a mental circle jerk. And that's what philosophers do, and that's what philosophy is, and that really the best thing to do is to leave it all alone and go off and run your own life doing whatever it is that you do without worrying too much about philosophy. I totally resonate with that. I understand what you're saying. Even though I'm a very nerdy, intellectual, academically inclined guy, and I had no problem diving into all the academics of philosophy, except, and I didn't realize this at the time when I was in it because I didn't know enough about life, I didn't know enough about really psychology, is that I didn't realize what was happening, what is currently happening in universities and colleges all across the country and the world, where they're taking philosophy and they're turning it into something that is, it's not really philosophy. What it is it's academic minutiae, scholars and professors trying to one-up each other with stupid research papers, arguing about technical trivialities that have absolutely no application to life, not to mention our lives, but not even their own personal lives. So that is the current state of philosophy, but that's not what philosophy really is. Let's talk about what it really is. Let's do a little history lesson in philosophy. All right, so first of all, let's talk about the word philosophy. What does it actually mean, literally? Philo means love, and osophy, just like biology or any kind of ology ending, you know what that means. That means the study of, right? So, love of study, or more accurately, love of wisdom, love of knowledge. That's literally what philosophy meant back in the old days. And by old days, what I'm talking about is 2,500 years ago in the era of Plato and Aristotle. That's if we're talking about Western philosophy. That's what it meant. Love of wisdom, love of knowledge. And now you might be saying, okay, that makes sense. But you gotta understand what knowledge meant back then versus what it means now. Now when we say knowledge, what do we mean? We usually mean book smarts, right? Book learning. How much do you know about X topic? How much do you know about biology? How much do you know about math? How much do you know certain trivia? How much do you know about the world, the war of 1812? That sort of stuff. There's nothing wrong with knowing those things, and I encourage you to study everything. I'm a voracious reader, voracious studier. I study everything. I think it's critical to your success in life. But I also think that it's a focus on the wrong thing. In the old times, what wisdom and knowledge meant was not knowledge of specific things or specific subjects. It was knowledge of life, knowledge of psychology. And see, 2,000 years ago, there really was no subject of psychology. Psychology is something new. It's a new development. Psychology arose, really, with William James, and that was in the late 1800s. And then it really got going with Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung in the early 1900s, and then started to take off, we would say, in like the 1930s and the 1950s, and then now it's just blooming. And now psychology has even evolved into positive psychology, which is actually what philosophy was 2,500 years ago. It was positive psychology. Positive psychology as a branch didn't even exist 40 years ago. It's ridiculous. So only 40 years ago did we finally catch up and did we finally systematize this study, the values of the study of what it means to create a happy, fulfilled life, what it means to be a human being. This is what philosophers are really interested in. Now you might be saying, well, what about all this airy-fairy conversation that philosophers have, the minutia? Aren't philosophers, even in the old days, arguing about all sorts of crazy and stupid things? Like, you can cite numerous examples from the Republic, from Plato's Republic. Like, weren't there silly arguments in there? Yes. By their nature, philosophers, because they're looking for sources of truth and knowledge, they're going out there and, you know, they're doing an inspection. They're doing an inspection into life. They're doing an inspection into psychology, into physics, into everything. They're just introspecting. They're asking themselves questions and they're looking for answers. Sometimes, and especially 2,500 years ago, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't know what kind of questions to even ask, what kind of questions had answers, what kind didn't. It was all a big mess. And it still is a big mess to some degree, even today. But the focus there, the reason that they were doing it, see, there was a reason. It wasn't just a debate for debate's sake. It wasn't just to publish a paper or to get some pat on the back that you said something smart. It was actually to embody the knowledge that you discovered and then to live a powerful life. If you look at Aristotle, if you look at Plato, if you look at Socrates especially, if we just take three of the greats from the classical era, then you see that these were people that not only theorized and philosophized, they lived. They lived what they discovered. They lived the highest truths. This actually had an effect on their life. True wisdom is not knowing some theory. It's not just knowing the theory of relativity, or it's not knowing quantum mechanics, or some nerdy subject. That is nothing. That is just a mockery of what knowledge is used for. Knowledge is practical. Knowledge is what I'm teaching you guys here. Knowledge is really understanding how to live a big life. It's understanding how to live a good life. It can also be an introspection into metaphysics and the nature of reality, the nature of knowledge. So yes, it can be an introspection into all of those domains. And there we start to get a little bit more iffy, a little bit more abstract, a little bit more vague. But that was done in the old days. That was done still with the intention of improving your life, making your life better. Now really think about this. These philosophers, they lived their values. They lived the truths. And they were a rare sort, you might say. Because what you might think is, you might think of it this way. Think of it as there was the common folk, the folk that were really living a really very miserable existence, like the farmers, the peasants, and the slaves. Then there was, let's say, the upper class. This was the nobility, the aristocracy, the senators, right? If we're talking about Greece and Rome. And they were the successful ones. They were the ones that ran businesses and had power and were part of a powerful family. They had influence and connections and they were well-educated and all this. But then there were the philosophers. The philosophers were the ones that were living up to something more noble. And today we might say this really goes along with self-actualization and Abraham Maslow's understanding of what self-actualization is, his description of people being humanists. To be a humanist, to be humanistic means to live up to what a human is supposed to be, the highest potential within a human. And back in the classical times, what they call that is they call that virtue. It's living a virtuous life, living to virtues. Virtues like honesty, truth, beauty, excellence, doing the right thing, duty, loyalty, friendship, love, compassion, knowledge, understanding, doing something positive for humanity, making a contribution, not doing petty things, not losing your temper, not getting angry at people, not being depressed or anxious or being too selfish, or earning money at the expense of other people, or laughing at the expense of other people. That's what it means to be virtuous. That's what it means to be self-actualized. The two are really the same thing. And it's really taken us a couple thousand years to, as a culture, to come back, to kind of come back home to what philosophy was. It really, it's a shame what philosophy has been made out to be now. In fact, when I was in college, I was so fascinated by philosophy. I started studying philosophy on my own even before I got into college in late high school. And I was just so fascinated. I think everyone should be a philosopher. Why? Because what do you have? If philosophy is about learning how to live a good life and how to live a happy, fulfilled life, that means it applies to everyone. It's the most practical of things. It's not the most airy-fairy and abstract. It's the most practical. Think about that. It's the most practical. Because what do you have? You're going to grow, you're going to be born, you're going to grow up, and you're going to die. And that's life. And you're going to have yourself along for the ride from the very beginning to the very end. So what could be more practical than just asking yourself questions as, like, what am I doing here on this earth? What is the nature of reality? What is my psychology? What is the connection between psychology and physics? What is the connection between the thoughts that I have and the results that I get in my life? What is the connection between the values that I live up to and the results that I get in my life and the happiness level that I'm at? What kind of values should I be pursuing and what kind of values should I not be pursuing? That is relevant to you. That is relevant to everybody. And so I started to get very interested in this back in high school, and I started doing a lot of just independent research, study, reading, but also most importantly, just asking myself the questions and having the curiosity, which I find missing in many people. Because many people, what they do is they kind of get out of high school, and then they go into college and they just study stuff, whatever is kind of given to them. And then they get out of that, they get into the workforce, and they're just kind of like humming along. They're just like robots going through life. They're sleepwalking through life. They're not really critical. They're not critically examining life. They're not asking themselves the questions. They're not generating their own answers. Even in the best cases, people go to books or some authority to get answers. Religion, politics, media, their friends, the internet. You go and you try to get answers there, and there's nothing really wrong with that if you do it intelligently, critically, and you use your judgment and you use wisdom, but you've got no judgment. You've got no wisdom because you haven't exercised philosophy, so you don't know what judgment and wisdom really are. You're not wise. Therefore, whatever information is thrown at you, you just lap it up. I could throw you a piece of shit and you're going to eat it. That's why it's important to be a philosopher, so you can understand when people are feeding you shit, and you can understand when they're feeding you gold. That way you can choose and understand which people that you can listen to and which people you cannot. And then you can also develop ideas that you get from other people. You can develop them further on your own. It's really powerful. As a philosopher, what you're becoming really is a master of thought, a master of reasoning, understanding what wisdom is. And then, of course, it goes even deeper into psychology. Philosophy and psychology, to me, are like this. They're just like two sides of the same coin. So what I was discussing with what I was talking about earlier, the point that I neglected to make, is that when I got into college, I really wanted to become a professor in philosophy because I was so fascinated by it. I wanted to get a PhD, but then when I started doing a little bit more research, digging into it, what I discovered was that if I was going to be a professional philosopher, then I would have to do that whole academic game, jumping through hoops with all these petty papers trying to get tenureship and going through all the bureaucracy of that. It's preposterous. What they've done in universities with philosophy is they've taken original philosophy, old school philosophy, which was this beautiful, like the most precious thing that you could have and the most precious activity that you can do as a human being. They took it. They took the most precious part of it. They took the heart of it. They ripped that out. They threw that to the ground. They forgot about it. And now they've got this husk, this this empty shell that they call philosophy, that they teach you, and that they write papers on. It's a fucking travesty. It's ridiculous. They should be ashamed of themselves of what they've done to this beautiful human endeavor. And really now, the tide has kind of shifted and it's gone into philosophy. If you're going to study anything that's going to be practical in college, it's philosophy. It's going to be psychology, and more specifically, positive psychology. Because psychology actually went through a phase in the early 1900s where there was also this focus on the wrong things. With Freud and Carl Jung and all the early old school psychologists, and I mean nothing against them, they were discovering a new field, so they were in a different time. And we're kind of standing on their shoulders now. But the problem there is that they were looking at dysfunction. They were looking at all the problems with life. And they were looking at all the problems with your psychology. And some people need that help, so we don't want to dismiss that. You know, some people genuinely need assistance for abnormal psychological conditions. But most of us, that's not what we need help with. Most of us need help with the living up to the values. Most of us need help with how do we live an excellent life? How do we live up to our full potential? How do we create a big life? How do we deal with the struggles of doing that? How do we choose those values? How do we know which values to choose? How do we build practical wisdom? That's what we really need help with. That's what's really practical. And that is thankfully now something that has really been tackled, well, a lot by the self-help movement in the last 50 years, but also positive psychology is tackling that from the academic side. So there's some good news there. Bottom line, though, is philosophy. I really want to convince you that philosophy is something that you should be critically interested in. This should be a side hobby of yours for the rest of your life at the very least. What does this really mean? What does it mean to be a philosopher? Well, first of all, read a lot. Read a lot of books. Be interested in stuff. I read shitloads of books, diverse topics of books. I read about science, history, political science, philosophy proper from the old school days. I read about psychology. I read about biographies. I'll read it all. I love it all. It's fascinating. All of it builds wisdom within me. All of it I can generate insights from. So start doing that. Start thinking critically about your own life. Start thinking critically about society, society's standards. Start thinking very critically about how you've been conditioned and enculturated and the effect that is having on you. Of course, all the information that I'm bringing to you through these videos, definitely soak all that up. Look at it again and again and again. Think about it critically. Don't just take all the ideas I give at you at face value. Really think of them, contemplate them, see how they apply, see how maybe what I'm saying is not right for you. You have to do that. You have to do that critical thinking work. Don't just sit back like a slug and just soak it up. Here's the real vision, though. My real vision for you, and I want us to take back philosophy from the fucking academics, because what they've done to it is a crying shame. Here's the best analogy I can give to you, because everyone has experience with this. Star Wars. All right, let's talk about Star Wars. What is Star Wars? Star Wars is an illustration of what I'm talking about. What is going on in Star Wars? In Star Wars, I'm talking about the original episodes, the original three, is you've got the Jedi. Who is the Jedi in the Star Wars universe? The Jedi in the Star Wars universe is a philosopher. That's who he is. He is the philosopher. He is that rare part of the general population, that rare individual within the whole population that is working for something larger. He is working towards the ultimate ideal. He is living a virtuous life. Not only is he thinking about it, so there's that whole mystical Yoda side of the Jedi, but there's also the practical side. He's going out there and he's actually fighting the battles, right? He's creating the wars. He's choosing where to put the energy and where to leverage, make a leverage so that you can change the world for the better, because he sees that there are wrongs that need to be righted. He is the light side. He is the light. He is the virtue of the universe. Whereas, what is everybody else? What are all the other characters in the Star Wars universe doing? What are they doing? Who do you have? You've got Han Solo, you've got Leia, You've got Chewbacca, you've got the droids, you've got the stormtroopers, you've got the evil emperor, and you've got his apprentice, Darth Vader. So what are all of them doing? Well, they are living, first of all, let's really separate the emperor and Darth Vader from the rest. So let's take the rest as kind of the normal folk and say that they're kind of living a comfortable, ordinary existence in the universe. They're basically comprising the status quo. And they're just living their existence, right? Sure, Han Solo will go out and fight here or there, but really he's a selfish bastard. He's out for himself, and he wants sex, and he wants this. So he's kind of, he's living for the lower values, money and sex and whatever else. Sometimes he'll go and he'll kind of fight a little bit here or there to save his life or the life of his friends. And Leia, what is she doing? She's got a cause of her own, but she's kind of like, she's still kind of living in an ordinary world, and so is everybody else. Now, you've got the Emperor, and you've got Darth Vader, and they're like the evil ones, right? They're the dark side. So they're actually, you could say that they're living consciously, but they're like the dark, the evil side of consciousness. So how do we now map this onto our own existence, our own reality? Well, the philosopher is the Jedi. They're the Jedi. They're looking for the high values, the virtues. That's what they're trying to live up to. The rest of the masses, those are the people that are living unconsciously. It's an unconscious kind of life. And you know what that really is? That is the job of the Hutt. He is the prime example of this. So who do you want to be? Do you want to be a Jedi, or do you want to be Jabba the fucking Hutt? What is Jabba the Hutt? He is the epitome of base values. He is the epitome of living a comfortable, relaxed kind of life. It's a life that you live for yourself. It's a life that you live that is easy and chill, and you're not honoring any kind of high values. He's not after beauty. He's not after excellence. He's not after saving the world or helping anybody. And he's not after anything. He's not even after to really improve his own life. Look at him. He's a fat slug who's just eating frogs and shit and then trying to trap Jedis in his little dungeon and feed them to a rancor. That's what he's trying to do. And that's literally what you can find Jabba the Hutt characters in life. I'm sure you can point some out right now. Maybe your boss, right, or somebody is a Jabba the Hutt character. They're not honoring higher values. But really look at this. Who are you? Who are you in the movie of your life? I hope that you can say that you are not the Jabba the Hutt character. I hope so. But you know what? Actually, I think you are. You are the Jabba the Hutt character. Because what are you doing with your life? Are you a Jedi? If you're not a Jedi, that only leaves two options. You're either the Jabba the Hutt character or you're some sort of evil Sith Lord, a Darth Vader or the Emperor. And really, there are a few of those in life. So most of us, and in fact, most of the evil of life is not some sort of super evil. Most of the evil in life is actually unconsciousness, and it's just complacency. It's just being that Jabba the Hutt. Really, Jabba the Hutt was a horrible character. I mean, he tried to kill a Jedi who was trying to do something good. He tried to kill Han Solo. He was really unfair. He was lecherous and disgusting. He was just a fat slob, not somebody that you want to emulate. I mean, do you want to live your life that way? Is that what your life is about, is being Jabba the Hutt? The most Jabba the Hutt that you can? It's like, yeah, I want to be the best Jabba the Hutt that I can be. I don't even know if that makes sense. Because if you wanted to do that, it's almost like you were kind of moving towards some sort of value. Jabba the Hutts don't think like that. They just live unconsciously. They don't recognize what they're doing. But the Jedi, think about what the Jedi is in this universe. He is the conscious one. He is the one that knows. He's got wisdom. Wisdom that the rest of the masses cannot even understand, right? He's got the force on his side. What is the force? What is the equivalent of force? And if you think that this is just a vague metaphor that I'm making, it is not. This is very literal. There's a very literal mapping between Star Wars and your life. Very, very real here. So pay attention. Don't dismiss this. The force is your understanding and control of yourself. And what is that? That is your own mastery of your psychology. That is you having wisdom, you being able to control your emotions, you really understanding yourself and being in touch with who you are authentically. You having a cause and a purpose that all of your actions are moving towards. And that cause and purpose is outside yourself and is something big, something powerful, something based in consciousness, not unconsciousness. That's the force. How strong is your attunement with the force right now? Do you really know your psychology? Do you know how you work? And I don't mean just know in knowing theoretically. I mean know, do you know practically? Can you practically control yourself? Do you have discipline problems? Do you have procrastination problems? Do you have anger problems? Do you have negative thinking problems? Well, if you do, then you do not really understand your psychology, and you are no Jedi, or at the very least, you are a struggling Jedi very early on in his training. And it's like a Jedi who is trying to pick up a rock with the Force, and he can't do it. That's basically you. Somebody who has very good self-mastery, somebody who understands their psychology and can control their psychology, has discipline, has willpower, has emotional intelligence, has wisdom, is pursuing the right values in life, is studying life, is a student of life, appreciates that, and is working towards something high conscious. What is that person doing? Well, that person is being a Jedi. He is like the Master Jedi. He is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He has full mastery of the Force. He knows the Force. The Force flows through him. He is a vehicle of the Force. And he uses it for good in the world. And he is what? He's powerful. He's got power. He's got power that others envy. He's got power that he can impart on other people. But only those that are willing to listen. Because what? In the Star Wars universe, not every schmuck can be a Jedi. I mean, you don't just get people running up to Ben Kenobi asking to be a Jedi. Why is that? That's because the Jedi training process is challenging, and it takes a certain initial drive to even want you to start to pursue that path. Luke Skywalker had it. That's why we related with him. He had something in him. He had that little spark that was enough to get him on the path, because all that it takes is to see the value of it. As long as you can see the value of the path, you will get on the path. Even if right now you have no idea what you're doing, even if you're lost, the fact that you can recognize the value is enough. But most people cannot even recognize the value. And those are the people that dismiss philosophy as airy-fairy. Those are the same people that will post YouTube comments on my videos and say stuff, yeah, I mean, all you're saying is good, but it's idealistic and it's not going to work for my life. This piece of advice is not going to work for me. That's fairy tale land. Fairy tales, abstraction, philosophy, psychology, all theory. Where are the results? Give me the results. Give me the results. I am giving you the results. A fucking Jedi gets phenomenal results, but he doesn't go on the path for results. And he doesn't ask himself every 5 minutes, where are the results? He's smarter than that. He's wise. He's a long-term thinker. He knows that he has to really understand the Force. Psychology. Understand it, play with it, master it, then he can go out there and do battle. And he can be phenomenal. He can be so phenomenal, he'll send chills up your spine. And if you think that this is just some sort of a superhero fantasy, you are dead wrong, because I'm very literal here. You can literally have the power of a Jedi in your life if you commit yourself to the path that I'm talking about here. This is not theory, although it sounds like it. This is not abstraction, although it is. This is true power. When you can master yourself, there is very little in this world that can stop you. And that's hard to explain to people. It's hard to really get this across to someone who does not have that initial spark for wisdom, who could not even see the value of the wisdom. It's hard to get across the value of wisdom to someone who doesn't understand that wisdom has really deep value. It's kind of like taking Jabba the Hutt and saying, you know what, Jabba the Hutt, I see that you've got this nice palace here, and you've got this cool thing going on with your sail barge off in the desert. You can move around, and you're sitting on your couch. It seems so comfy, and you get to have nice entertainment by throwing people down into your pit with the rankers, and you get to eat those yummy frogs. Like, that's all great. How about we strip you of all that, put you on a grueling path of self-mastery, put you on a fucking stairmaster, you goddamn fat slug, and then some years down the line, you will be able to wield a lightsaber and control the forces of nature with your mind. How about that, Jabba the Hutt? What do you think he's going to say? What do you think Jabba the Hutt is going to say? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Fuck this whole thing I've got going here. I don't need Jabba's palace. Jabba's palace, that's shit. Let's go apprentice with Yoda. Yeah, let's go apprentice with Yoda and listen to Yoda's mysterious bullshit backwards grammar talk and try to figure all this stuff out, try to master myself, get on that stairmaster, and then maybe 5 years from now, I'll be able to go do something good for the world. Yeah, right. That's what Jabba the Hutt wants. That's what he's after. No, he's too far gone. He's too far gone. He is the Darth Vader as well. It's like Darth Vader. He's too far gone to be brought back to the light side. He's too far gone. He's too comfortable. And it's very hard for someone like Obi-Wan Kenobi to come in there and to show him the light side. He's not going to see it. He's just literally not going to see it. He's not going to believe it. It's going to be outside of his reality completely. And that's what I see when I'm trying to share some of this wisdom with you guys. And literally, I'm sharing with you hundreds of thousands of dollars of the best wisdom from the last 2,500 years. I'm talking about the best seminars that I've been to and I've seen, the best books that I've read, and I've read hundreds of them, the best compilations of notes that I've looked and studied, everything that I've experienced with my clients and with myself, all the work that I've done. I've taken all of that, distilled all the nuggets of it, and it's here for you. The real question is, are you going to see the value of it? Are you even going to register it? Or are you going to be a fat, lazy Jabba the Hutt and sit there and poke fun and criticize and laugh and dismiss and come with excuses and be a victim? Be a victim of your own circumstances. And be cynical. And say that it cannot be done. And that this thing that is being shown to you is not true. It is true. You just don't see the light. And in fact, it is equally powerful. The information that I'm telling you, this wisdom, philosophy, psychology, is equally powerful to the effect of the Force in the Star Wars universe. It's equally powerful here. You will be shocked when you actually do some of this work at the parallels. It will be freaky to you. You will literally have that moment, and this is another analogy I like to use, of Neo in the Matrix seeing the Matrix for the first time and seeing that, and then also then starting to bend the rules of the Matrix. That's literally what you're going to discover when you get really deep down this rabbit hole. It's an extraordinary experience. It's very profound. It's deeply fulfilling. Like, it's so fulfilling it brings you to tears when you realize some of this stuff. It's that powerful. And if you think that, oh well, it's just kind of like, you know, airy-fairy, there's the fulfillment part, which is kind of airy-fairy, you know, what is fulfillment? But there's also the performance that you get. Because don't forget who a Jedi is. A Jedi is not somebody who just sits in a cave. He is not a hermit. He is active in the world. Sometimes he's a hermit. Sometimes he's reclusive. But then he can always pick up his sword, and he can always use his Force powers. And he can actually go out into the world, onto the battlefield, and fight the good fight, and he prevails, and the way he prevails, oh my God, he's got the power of the universe behind him, literally, And this is literally what you will have. Because let me tell you, what you think is the universe is actually your psychology. And everything that you think that is limiting you, everything you think that is outside of you, that is holding you back, that is your psychology holding you back, my friend. So when you understand the rules of psychology and you master them, can you imagine what you can do? What you can do with your life? What you can accomplish? You cannot even imagine that right now. Your imagination is literally, because it is part of the your psychology and your mind, it has literally been so disused, it's in such disrepair, and it's been so conditioned by the negative forces of society and all of your past experience that you cannot even see what is possible for you. In fact, I understand your own psychology better than you do right now. And I can actually see your potential more clearly than you can, because I see through the fog. I can see through the fog because I've walked the path, not completely, but I've walked it much further than you have. Therefore, I can look back and I can see how what you're saying, to me, it's almost laughable sometimes when I read some of the comments or I get some emails, people complaining about some of their problems in life. Sometimes it's laughable to me because I look at that and I'm saying, oh my God, that person is dealing with that? Like, that's preposterous. That problem is all in his mind, yet he thinks it's out there. It's the same way that the people in the Matrix, they think that they can't fly and they can't jump and that everything is real and everything is out to hurt them, but they don't realize that it's an illusion. And the people that are in the Matrix and they do see it, like Neo and Morpheus and all the others, they can bend the rules. So that's literally what I'm doing with my life, is I'm bending the rules, not physically, I'm bending them psychologically. Because you don't even appreciate right now how much of the rules are in your head versus out in the real world. And it's crazy when you start to actually feel that. It takes some time to get there. You won't get there immediately. This video probably won't do it for you either. This will just get you on the track. I want to get you on the track. I want you to open your mind and to tune in. I want you to tune in with that filter that you've got somewhere. Maybe it's covered in dust and grime and spiderwebs. That filter that you've got that searches for wisdom and truth and latches onto it. Because what I want you to do is I want you to use that filter to pick out what I'm saying to you and to say, yes, this is where I get on the path. This is something that is powerful. I can feel it somewhere in there. I can feel it somewhere. Even though I have my doubts, my worries, my concerns, my victim mindset, just something about this feels right. And I want you to get on the path and see where it takes you. Just see where it takes you. I can take you somewhere very cool, somewhere very powerful, somewhere extremely profound. I want to show you the light side. I want to show you the path of the Jedi. I want to make you the Jedi of your life. Okay, this is Leo. I'm going to be signing off. Those are my thoughts on philosophy and Star Wars and your connection to all of that. So, how about you leave me some comments on this, all you Star Wars fans out there, post away. But don't make it a debate about Star Wars or Star Trek. And then, of course, please like this and share it so that other people get to see the goodness and hear the goodness and also can get on the light side. We want more people on the light side. Here, the Jedis are recruiting. And, of course, if you're really serious and you saw something here that resonated with you, go to actualize.org right here, check out the site, and subscribe to the newsletter. You're going to get some nice bonuses for free for subscribing, some really awesome bonuses, but I think you already understand why you need to subscribe. It's not even for the weekly updates, which are free, more video articles like this with tips, tricks, techniques for how to improve your life and understand yourself better. But it's because you want to be on this path. And to be on this path for real, you have to become a student of it. You don't just watch one video. You know, you don't even watch 10 videos. This is something that you live and something that you breathe and something that you do alongside everything else that you're doing. So really, become a hobbyist. Not just me. I mean, there's many people out there that are sharing amazing information with you guys. You just aren't really applying it. You're not valuing it as much as you could be. So I want you to start that path, start that process. And to do that, sign up right here because we make it really easy for you. We send out free videos and articles and awesome downloads and other new stuff that I've got coming to you literally every single day, weekly basis. You keep getting the stuff. So check that out. And when you do, you're going to get a 19-part video series that helps you start eliminating some of your top limiting beliefs about starting to create an extraordinary kind of life. And you get to sign up and get a chance to win 2 hours of free coaching, which I give away every month to one of my subscribers. Okay.